I'm Robert Larson. I served 4 years, 7 months, and 8 days for a crime that I did not commit.
Hi, I'm Brooke, and you're listening to Actual Innocence, a podcast bringing awareness to wrongful conviction and problems with the justice system. I'm here with DeMarco. How are you doing this week, friend?
Brooke, I had a very interesting and exciting week. First, you came and spent the weekend with me.
Wait, can we just stop there for a second?
Okay, yes.
I met DeMarco's family last weekend, and they were amazing. We are working on this project that we will tell you about before the end of this month. And being there with DeMarco's friends and family was such a cool experience. And Miss Pam, thank you so much for sharing your house with us. And just everybody who was there, thank you so much.
Brooke.
Yes.
I'm so excited about this project.
Me too.
Man, I'm excited. But, you know, you was able to come spend the weekend with me. I was able to cook some meat pie for you. Well, I didn't actually cook, but my wife cooked for you.
That was so amazing. Actually, I was like, okay, what were the ingredients? Like, I went to the grocery store today and I was like, I don't know what was in it. Dang it.
You know, just hanging out with you just the whole week. You know, then we was able to go to StoryCorps to top it off.
Yeah, that was really cool too. There's pictures on our, we have a Facebook group. It's called Podcast for Justice. And then it has the initials of all the podcasts that we're a part of. You should check that out. Or we're on Twitter at ActualInPod or at Brooke Giddings.
And Brooke.
Yes.
It's not over for me. StoryCorps today for me again. Me and Brandy are going again. We're going to be in the Library of Congress. I'm excited about that. So that's history in the making.
That's so cool. You text me right before this podcast.
Wow. I am excited about that. A good friend of mine just called me about an hour ago, and I was invited to speak. I got to say his name. I didn't know if he wanted me to say his name or not, but my good friend, Kevin Armstrong, and we have history, too. I have history with him, but he just invited me to speak at the Oklahoma City Capitol.
That's awesome.
That's the March 29th.
I kind of want to go. Can you find out if I can attend as like a citizen?
I will find out what you need to do so you can attend if you have to register or whatever. But, you know, it's going to be some other big name speakers. And we're going to be speaking on behalf of prison reform, basically. Yes, I'm excited about that.
We could also have meat pie again. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. Meat pie. Today, our show has three sponsors, Pitney Bowes, Havenly, and Aura Organic.
Pitney Bowes is the industry leader in mailing and shipping solutions. No matter what you send or how often, Pitney Bowes has the solution that precisely fits your needs.
Wait, print, mail, and save. You and your business will save time and money when you print postage, and you won't need to wait in line at the post office anymore. You also won't need to worry about putting the correct amount of postage on your letter or package.
Effective January 21st, the United States Postal Service mailing and shipping costs went up. But you'll save 3 cents per letter with a Pitney Bowes solution. These discounts are not available at the post office.
Whether you're sending a letter or a package, you'll be paying less and saving money if you're using a Pitney Bowes sending solution.
Plans start at just $5 per month. And for our listeners, Pitney Bowes is offering a free trial, so you're sure to find the solution that's right for you. Visit pb.com/actual to learn more and try it free. Terms apply. See the website for details.
That's pb.com/actual. And we thank Pitney Bowes for sponsoring the podcast. And remember, when you support our sponsors, you help make this podcast possible.
I want to thank everyone who submitted the answers to last week's trivia. I hope the first 10 folks who contacted me enjoy their swag. And if you haven't gotten yet, let me know because you should have. Because we are so excited about the upcoming Innocence Conference, today's questions are going to be about that, and we're going to do another swag giveaway. Ready?
Swag? Of course I'm ready. You got to be ready for swag.
Question one, which is not multiple choice because it's pretty easy. Last time we interviewed Ted Bradford, who is a member of what band playing at the 2018 Innocence Network Conference?
Easy one. It's the Exoneree Band.
I am really excited to meet Ted. Okay, next question. Who plans the Innocence Conference and coordinates all of the details?
Meredith.
Yes, Meredith is the person in charge, and she is a part of the Innocence Network known as the Network Support Unit. And they not only plan this amazing conference every year, but they provide support to the individual agencies that are part of the Innocence Network. So they're like your go-to person from the network.
I'm looking forward to meeting that Meredith as well.
Yeah, she was. If you haven't listened to our last year's Innocence Conference episode, you should listen to it because Meredith talks. There's like music and then Meredith introduces stuff. And it sounds really incredible. Like, it's really cool. Okay, listeners, I'm going to send some actual Innocence swag to the first 10 listeners that email me the correct answer and a shipping address. The question is, it's kind of long. Sorry about that. The conference will be ending in a march to honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in Memphis. The march ends at the Civil Rights Museum, which was formerly a hotel. The hotel where Dr. King was assassinated. So, the answer I'm looking for is what the name of the hotel was at the time when Dr. King was assassinated.
Come on, listeners. This is history. This is an easy one.
It's incredible. It was about the same time of year. Dr. King was assassinated on April 4th, and we're going to be there, you know, just a couple weeks before that.
Wait, how do the listeners get actual Innocence swag again?
For a chance to get some swag in the mail, listeners need to email me the answer and an address where the swag should be mailed. And the swag will go out to the first 10 listeners that respond from any country. The answer has to come in the form of an email to actualinnocencepod@gmail.com. Answers sent via social media don't count because I'll probably miss it. So it has to all be by email.
Let me tell you how I met Robert. I'm always looking for exoneree Facebook friends, and that's the story right there. So everyone here's Robert, exoneree from Washington.
I got one older brother, one older sister, and then all the adopted family that I acquired over the years.
That's awesome. I have I have one brother and he's younger than me. But with me and my brother, like, I could be mean to him, but no one else could be mean to him. Is that how it was with your siblings?
Yeah, me and my older brother got along pretty good, and he could beat me up, but if anybody else did, he was on them.
So you live in Washington State now. Did you grow up there?
I was actually born in Minnesota, spent the first 5 years of my life there, and then I moved back to Spokane, which is where my mom's side of the family was from.
Can you help me understand the timeline of what happened in your story? Like, normally, at this point, I say, you know, okay, so can you tell me about the crime that happened that you were wrongfully convicted of? But your wrongful conviction started with someone else getting arrested for a crime, right?
Yes, a group of four gentlemen got arrested for a home invasion robbery that they did. And one of them, being a juvenile, was still housed in the county jail with another one of the people that he did the robbery with. They were housed on the same floor, and they conspired to set up my cousin and Tyler and some guy named Andrew in the place of his brother and two of his friends. And then from there, the detectives talked to my cousin's probation officer and found out about him having a cousin on federal supervision, which was me.
Right, but not related to this at all, right?
Nope. But within 45 minutes of that conversation, this guy named Andrew became my cousin's cousin, Bobby or Robert.
You're getting implicated in this crime that you had nothing to do with because this other guy is trying to, he's trying to save his the people who are actually with him?
Yeah, he basically put me, my cousin Tyler, in the place of his brother and three of his friends in a list of nine home invasion robberies.
Hold on. Excuse me. The other guy put y'all in at the scene of the crime and tried to cover for his buddies. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes.
And then he got to make a deal, right?
He did 17 months in a juvenile facility because he implicated three innocent men.
Wow. And do you know, like, was he pressured by police or just, like, familiar with how to work the system?
I don't know how that come about. I know that they approached him about doing a pre-talk, and he volunteered to do a pre-talk and then conspired with somebody else to frame us. And then the person that he conspired with come back and told the truth. And when he told the truth, the detective said, guess what? That 14 years you just got, we're going to tack another 5 on that for perjury if you come forward and tell the truth.
I just visited DeMarco's new home in Oklahoma last weekend, and it looks so nice. We both moved in around the same time. I wondered if furnishing his place was as frustrating for him as it had been for me. I was trying to stay within my budget by ordering from a multitude of different companies, and it felt exhausting. DeMarco used Havenly, though. How was that?
I was able to partner with an interior designer as a guide. We all need a little help making our space feel like our space. Using my budget as a guide, Havenly helped me every step of the way to design my perfect room. Everyone desires a beautiful living space. You can start by taking the free Havenly style quiz.
I love quizzes.
I love quizzes too. It's a fun way to learn your unique design style and match you with the right designer.
Turn your Pinterest board into reality. Try Havenly today by visiting havenly.com/actual and get 25% off your design package. That's HAVENLY.com/actual for 25% off your design package. Havenly.com/actual.
Havenly.com/actual.
Can you tell me, what did you end up being charged with?
I got charged with first-degree robbery, first-degree assault, and first-degree attempted murder. The first-degree assaults were an alternative first-degree attempted murder times 2. And drive-by shooting times, too.
On one of the articles that I was reading, I read something like one of the other person who pled guilty, like, said you weren't there, but he said he wouldn't testify because of his Fifth Amendment right. Is that, am I making that up?
No, that would be true and correct, because after we secured him as a witness and he was going to come forward and tell the truth, the prosecutor and the 2 detectives on the case met with our witness and threatened him, which in turn ended with him 2 hours later contacting our attorneys in the presence of the prosecutor and the detectives, saying that he was going to use his Fifth Amendment right not to testify on our behalf.
So did you have a paid attorney or did you have an appointed attorney?
We had appointed attorneys.
And how did you feel like your attorney did?
Well, I went through 4 or 5 different attorneys because they kept ending up with conflicts.
How old were you?
Well, I want to say 26 at the time.
And were you arrested? Maybe a little older. Were you arrested the night of the crime, or how far after the crime happened, when were you arrested?
The original date on the crime that they charged us with was April 15th, 2008. And they arrested us on 6/25, 2008. So, wow. 2 months later.
What was your trial like? Were you all tried at the same time?
Yes, we were like, we didn't do it. We have alibis. We can prove that we were not there the date and time that they charged us with. The morning of trial, they changed the date of the crime to the 17th instead of the 15th, which was to get around our alibis because we beat them at the other trials that we just went to ahead of this.
Did you testify on your own behalf?
No, we did not.
I'm using air quotes that you can't see. What evidence did they have that you were there, besides the guy implicating you?
No evidence.
Wow.
And what actually come about when we got the Innocence Project Northwest on board, after our appeals and everything else were done, the Innocence Project got a victim's time card, which showed that he left work early on the 16th, which meant the robbery happened on the 15th, like originally charged, which this evidence was not disclosed to our original attorneys. It was the police had it, but did not disclose it.
So like a Brady violation.
My original sentence was 240 months. Or 20 years.
That's a long time. And what was that like? How did you feel when you heard that?
When I got handed that sentence, I was like, I blame God. And I was like, why'd you do this to me? But looking at it now, I'm now working at a drug and alcohol counseling facility.
That's awesome.
And help other gentlemen and women to get through their addictions.
How long were you in prison altogether?
4 years, 7 months, and 8 days.
So what was your prison life like?
Stressful and just what it is. Because people ask you what you're there for, and it's like, well, I'm here, but I'm innocent. They're like, we hear that all the time. And my paperwork's right there on the table. Read it.
How did it affect your relationships with your family on the outside?
My family, I've always had a good relationship with. They asked us, hey, did you actually do this? I was like, no. You guys know where I was the day of the crime.
Right. Did you get to see them?
When I was on the other side of the state for all but the last year, I think I got to see him 3 times in that portion.
Do you have children?
Yes.
Did you have them at the time that you were incarcerated?
Yes, ma'am.
Was it hard for them? Were they little?
My oldest is now 18.
Oh, it's time to start paying for college, huh?
Yeah, she's already in college.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So you contacted the Innocence Project Northwest?
Yes, all three of us tried contacting them, and they're like, well, it doesn't involve DNA. We can't really look at it.
How did you feel about that?
We approached them again, and then one of our appellate attorneys, was a former law student and worked really close with Miss McMurtry, the head of the Innocence Project Northwest, and looked at our case and asked Jackie to look at it. And they looked at it and they're like, wait a minute, we will pick it up.
That's amazing that you had that in.
I was going to ask, when you first reached out to the Innocence Project and they told you that they couldn't help you because there was no DNA, how did that make you feel?
Well, they just said that it's not their specialty because they usually have DNA or something else.
What made you keep going?
Well, the fact that I knew that I was innocent. I did all my own appeals paperwork also, secondary to my appellate attorney, so.
That'll definitely do it. Knowing that you're innocent will definitely motivate you. That's what did it for me, too.
I figured if nobody else is going to fight, I have to.
Yeah.
Good for you. There was two main factors, right, that led to your exoneration. One was the date, time. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
That was Whippy. The court allowed the prosecutor to change the date and time of the crime, the morning of trial with no evidence. They provided a cell phone record from one of the people that was allegedly there, one of the alleged victims. That was incomplete with only one phone call. And that's how they changed the date.
That's so, and also, it was my understanding that the judge was like, if that guy pled guilty, he doesn't have a Fifth Amendment right. Like, he can't plead the Fifth. Is that true?
Yeah.
So what happened? Were you granted a retrial?
After the Innocence Project come on board and found the evidence that they found, we had no clue that it was going to happen the way it did. But we had immediate release ordered that day.
Oh, my gosh. That never happens.
Whether you're a busy professional, parent on the go, or just looking for high quality supplements, Aura Organic has the cleanest and most delicious nutritional products available.
In a lot of supermarkets now, when you walk down the aisles, you'll see a lot of natural products and produce, organic potato chips, vegan ice cream, and sustainable cleaning products. What about natural nutritional supplements? That's where Aura Organic comes in.
Aura offers a subscription service that is free to cancel or skip for all their nutritional products. And rest assured that their product contains no artificial ingredients and they're vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, and no GMO.
Aura comes from a New Zealand greeting that translates to be well. Their great quality and delicious products help people to do just that. They believe that Mother Nature had it right. Nutrition should come from plants.
Try Aura Organic with 15% off your first order using the code ACTUAL at www.aura.organic.
Aura, O-R-A, dot, organic, and use our code ACTUAL for 15% off.
How long after the Innocence Project got on your case to, you know, when you were released?
6 to 9 months, maybe a year.
That's pretty fast. Like,
it is.
Were you shocked when they were like, hey, by the way, you're going home?
We were all sitting in the courtroom. We went to a hearing for asking for them to look at the new evidence. And the judge ordered immediate release then. It felt really weird in the aspect that I didn't expect it to happen. And then I had to sit a month longer than the other two gentlemen because I had a federal detainer.
Oh, so you didn't go home that day that the charges was dismissed?
No, I actually got to go home like a month and 4 days later.
Were you like, okay, so I've never been to prison, but I think that I would have in 4 years or in several years made relationships with people in prison. Like, were you glad to like be able to say goodbye to the people inside?
I wasn't allowed to say goodbye to the people inside because I was in the county jail.
Oh, no.
On a maximum security for 23 and a half hours in your cell with a half hour out if you're lucky.
Did you wish that you got to say goodbye?
Yes, in some ways, because I have a lot of friends and I have some of the people, two of my former roommates now live within 2 miles of me.
Can you tell me about the day that you were released? That's what I want to hear about. How did you feel that day?
I was excited and stunned.
Did you have any loved ones there? Were your kids there?
My two co-defendants, who through all this have become family. One was family, one become family. When I actually got to walk out, met me there.
Did you have a press conference?
No, sir.
Do you think that would have been overwhelming? Like, I've seen a lot of exonerees who do have press conferences, and they just don't know what to say because, you know, they've been in prison for all that time, and then here's all the media, like, in their faces.
Yes, I think that probably would have been extremely overwhelming.
You mentioned that now you're a substance use counselor. How did that come about?
I'm not actually a counselor. I'm affiliated. I have my affiliated counselor's license or agency affiliated.
Oh, cool.
I started working at a treatment center for youth services. Advanced and become a lead there. And I was a lead there until a little over about a year and 2 months ago.
What were you doing before you were wrongfully convicted?
Working. And if I wasn't working, I was at the church working with the youth services there.
So when you were working, were you just doing whatever jobs or what kind of jobs were you working before?
I was working a labor job at a tile company or quarry tile.
So, I mean, not that it was good that you were wrongfully convicted, but some good did, like, it put you on a good career path. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now I have a question. Like for me, I was in there for 22 years, you know, and I feel like I have PTSD. And I would like to know, do you feel like you have PTSD?
Yes, I have PTSD.
That prison, being wrongly in prison, that it affects everyone in different ways, but you know, it always has an effect on us. Do you think that there's something that someone could have did that could have helped you, like counseling? Do you do counseling? Do you think that may help you?
Well, I'm not technically a counselor, but yes, I'm familiar with skills and everything else because I have to become versed in it for work. I had to facilitate groups, which made it so that I become more familiar with it.
Do speaking to the youth help?
Yes, sir.
Because I also speak to the youth, and I feel like that helps me to be able to talk to them and tell them, you know, what I went through and, you know, try to get them not to go down a certain path. You know, I feel like that does help with my post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yes.
So I've noticed that a big issue is that people who are exonerated don't have health care. So even if they do have PTSD, like, they can't do anything about it because they don't have health care. Was that an issue for you?
Yeah, I didn't have health care. I just got it through work.
Right. It's so hard and it's so expensive.
But with looking at all the expenses for co-pays and everything else, I can't afford to do it. Couldn't afford to do it anyway.
So how do you think that your experience being wrongfully convicted and then exonerated has changed your outlook on life, like how you see things?
Well, I wake up every day and look at the fact that I have something to be thankful for. I'm not locked up and I'm not in prison for something I didn't do.
That's awesome. That's a great attitude to have.
I weigh the positives every day.
What advice would you give to someone who is currently experiencing a wrongful conviction or is serving time in prison? Like, what advice would you give that person?
Be patient and make sure you keep fighting.
So most of the listeners are not people who've been exonerated. They're not in the legal system, but they're people who want to help. So what do you think the average person like me could do to help people who've been wrongly convicted?
There's ways to get involved with innocence projects and stuff and help with them, even if it's just picking up paperwork or doing this, that, or the other. Or there's always room for financial help to the places like the Innocence Project that pick up and fight for people that are wrong.
Are you going to the conference?
No, I'm not able to attend Memphis.
Have you ever attended any conferences?
Yes, Florida and Texas.
Oh, okay.
We went to California last year, but I think Texas was the year before that. Was it awesome?
Yes. It's always good to get with all of us that have been wrongfully convicted or all the exonerees.
I agree. Do you know Ted Bradford? I mean, not that all exonerees in Washington know each other. I'm not trying to stereotype you, but do you know him by some chance? Because he was also represented by that particular Innocence Project.
Yes, ma'am.
He was so nice.
Most of us from Washington are pretty close and talk to each other.
That's awesome.
Oh, that is a good thing.
So you have like your own network within a network.
Yeah, that's exactly what it would be.
Do you have any associates or friends that's in prison that, you know, you're able to reach out to, write or send pictures to from time to time?
Yes, I do.
That's good.
I have a couple, and I know that receiving a letter or stuff helps everybody's morals that are actually locked up because of how stressful it is.
What kept your, I usually ask this and I didn't, what kept your morale up? Like, what kept you going besides knowing you were innocent? Like, did you have like a routine? Did you exercise? Like, I hear all different kinds of like things to keep your mind focused.
I always tried to find jobs and just focus on working so that I was occupied with that. If I wasn't working, I was in the law library.
Is there anything you would like the listeners to know or anyone locked up? Is there anything you want to tell them?
I would like them to know that for the people that are locked up wrongfully, to keep fighting. It's a struggle, but it's one day at a time. And I would like the other people to know that it's a big issue inside our system that needs to be fixed. Letting the prosecutors and judges just do whatever they want and hide the evidence to do it.
Does Washington have compensation laws?
They do now. My uncle, while we were fighting this, after we got out, helped get it into the legislature and went through.
That's amazing.
To get it pushed through the House.
Well, you know, I don't know what you're going through, but I know for me, when I got out, I was going through some things, and I still am. I want to tell you that I hope everything works out for you. I wish you the best in all your endeavors. And Brooke, how did you think the show went today?
I thought it was good. I need to move to Washington so I can be around a lot of nice people. I've never been there, but I would love to go. It made me so upset for him that basically he was like sitting on his couch watching Full House and someone called and was like, by the way, you've been accused of a crime. And he had no idea.
That is terrible.
And then, like, the same thing when it was time for him to go home. By the way, you're going home. Everybody's going home today. Surprise. He had a lot of unpredictable things happen to him, and he seems to be doing really well.
Because, you know, a lot of times exonerees get out and they're going through stuff, and it's hard on them. And I do feel like I made some mistakes, and I do apologize to the listeners. I'm dealing with some fractured ribs, and I'm a bit under the weather, so I do apologize. But...
And we had a week off. Like, I think when you have time off, it kind of makes you feel a little bit off, too.
Yeah.
Until next time, thank you so much for listening.
Actual Innocence is hosted by DeMarco Carpenter and Brooke Giddings. Our original music is by Blake Maples. Our transcriptionist is Christina Judge. Our website guru is Sean Cole. Our master of social media is Cameron Taylor. And our amazing volunteer is Casey Weber. You can visit our website for bonus materials like transcripts, pictures, and calendars of upcoming episodes. .com/ass. That's
what?
That's stop, bro. Stop. My stomach. You making my rib hurt. I can't laugh.